Good morning. This is Marlene Sanders substituting for Dallas Townsend on the CBS World News Roundup. With 53 more days left to campaign, the pace is picking up. Although President Carter got two important endorsements over the weekend, he also lost one. The Liberal Party of New York gave its support to Congressman John Anderson. Lee Thornton tells us how Mr. Carter will try to overcome that problem.
President Carter continues to try to attract support from Jewish voters when he meets today with the leaders of the major American Jewish organizations. This session comes close on the heels of last week's meeting with officials of the Committee on Soviet Jewry and speech to the annual convention of the Jewish service organization, B'nai B'rith. Finding some common ground with Jewish leaders is all the more important since the governing body of New York's Liberal Party voted over the weekend to back the candidacy of independent John Anderson. The party is expected to follow suit at its convention this week. As he returned to the White House from a Camp David weekend, Mr. Carter was asked what effect the Liberal Party might have in New York and replied, "We will try to win anyway." Tomorrow, the president campaigns in Perth Amboy, New Jersey, but the week's schedule was planned to be a light one, leaving time, sources said, to prepare for the first debate with GOP nominee Ronald Reagan. That first debate remains up in the air. The president's travel pace quickens again next week and the week after, but to conserve funds, all the campaign stops won't be pulled out until October. Lee Thornton, CBS News, the White House.
Ronald Reagan picks up his campaign today in Philadelphia and plans to spend the next 5 days looking for the urban labor vote, as Bill Plant explains.
Reagan meets this morning with John Cardinal Kroll, the Catholic Archbishop of Philadelphia and the most prominent Pole in the American Catholic hierarchy. Reagan has tried and will continue to attempt to seek the votes of the so-called ethnics, people who have traditionally voted Democratic. But the major focus of Reagan's campaign is on what he considers the failure of the national economy under the Carter administration. And Tuesday in Chicago, Reagan will deliver his long-promised major speech on the economy. His aides promise that he will articulate specific programs, something he has so far failed to do except to say that he would call for an across-the-board 30% tax cut. The speech is important because the Reagan staff believes the economy is the administration's most vulnerable point and has been saying all along that Reagan would remedy the economy's ills with specific new programs. Bill Plant, CBS News, with the Reagan campaign in Philadelphia.
A Time magazine poll puts Reagan and President Carter neck and neck, but more important for John Anderson, it gives him the necessary 15% the League of Women Voters says he needs to qualify for the presidential debates. And Bob Faugh, traveling with the candidate, says Anderson's spirits were up after receiving New York State's Liberal Party endorsement.
John Anderson brought his long-shot campaign back to the Northeast. At a fundraiser in Buffalo, where unemployment is rising, he found Liberal Party members already drumming up support. But later, he was victimized yet again by inept staff work, which forced him to sit for 90 minutes through a parade of local speakers before he could criticize the administration's economic record and reiterate one theme of his campaign.
You don't fight inflation by throwing men and women out of work. What you do is to try to build a stronger industrial base.
Upbeat now and insisting that he's on the rebound, Anderson complained yesterday that candidate Jimmy Carter continues to treat him as a non-person, despite Anderson's drumbeat of criticism and the recent progress that he's made. Bob Faugh, CBS News, with the Anderson campaign in Buffalo.
Although Poland's nationwide strike wave is mostly over, scattered strikes continue around the country. Government radio warned that new rights promised the workers may be held up if the walkouts continue. One of those new rights, free trade unions, has been taken up by Polish farmers who are starting a national farm workers union with the help of several prominent dissidents. Bert Quint tells us who they are and what they're doing.
One of the organizers is Jan Kozłowski, who was jailed last October on what he says were trumped-up charges so as to end his efforts to unionize farm workers. He was released last week as part of the government's deal with the Gdansk strikers. 75% of the land in this country is farmed privately, but the individual plots are so small, 5 to 100 acres, and the farmers' resources so limited that their production has been low. Production on the state farms has been low, too, because of inefficiency, private farmers say. The result has been food shortages and the price rises which led to the recent industrial strikes. The private farmers say they are discriminated against because the government would like to see all the land cultivated by the state. The new union will ask that the kind of subsidies, discounts, and loans granted state-run farms be made available to private farmers as well. If the farmers succeed in forming an effective union, they will become a powerful force. One of their proposed bylaws is that no member of the Communist Party be permitted to hold office in their union. Bert Quinn, CBS News, Warsaw.
Both NATO and Warsaw Pact alliances began war games today on both sides of the boundary line running through Germany. The 1975 Helsinki Accords oblige each side to tell the other about maneuvers involving more than 25,000 troops, and that information was released, although no Western observers were invited to watch the exercise in East Germany. The NATO maneuvers involve more than 100,000 American and other Allied troops. Allied military spokesmen say the purpose is better coordination and rapid deployment of national defense forces. Israeli Foreign Minister Yitzhak Shamir goes to Cairo tomorrow for talks with Egyptian leaders, including President Sadat, to continue to try to find a way to get back to work on Palestinian autonomy and speedier normalization of relations between Egypt and Israel. Also traveling in the Middle East, President Assad of Syria, who's going to Libya to talk about a proposal that their two countries unite to fight Israel. Fort McCoy, Wisconsin, once held 15,000 Cuban refugees. Now there are 5,000 left, and impatience is growing, particularly in an all-male compound holding 1,000 men. Yesterday, 300 of them tore down a chain-link fence and looted a mess hall before soldiers and a security force restored order. Bill Hull of station WLCX in La Crosse talked to officials about the disturbances.
Federal marshals and officials of the Immigration Service at Fort McCoy will spend today listening. They'll be checking carefully to determine who started yesterday's disturbance and, more importantly, why they started it. State Department spokesman David Nick Nichols says there are indications it's an old familiar problem.
There has been a level of frustration here at Fort McCoy because of the sponsorship situation, and I know that when I was on the scene during the disturbance today, there was some expression of concern about sponsorship and some expression of concern about the image that the Cuban community has on the outside.
There have been many reports of sexual abuse and violence from inside the Fort McCoy compound, the latest from a governor's commission. Most of those reports, though, have portrayed the majority of the Cubans remaining as victims of a few hoodlums in their midst. If anything, the reports have been most critical of the federal officials running the Refugee Resettlement Center. Today, those officials will be listening for indications of any more violence yet to come. Bill Hull for CBS News, La Crosse, Wisconsin.
A number of teacher strikes across the nation, the most serious in Philadelphia. But school officials there say some schools will be open today. The Emmy Award show went on last night, but most of the stars failed to show up. Barry Peterson was on hand and tells us who won what.
There's a saying among actors, the show must go on. But in this case, it was the actors who didn't go on, even if the show did. The show, of course, was the 32nd Annual Emmy Awards, boycotted as part of the actors' strike. They want a cut in the revenue from home video and pay television. So it was an audience of producers, directors, and writers. The only actor to accept his award personally, Powers Booth, who won for his starring role as Jim Jones in The Guyana Tragedy. He said afterward that if his appearance hurts his career, Hollywood is a smaller town than he realized. The big winner was the TV series Lou Grant, with a half dozen Emmys, including an award for star Ed Asner, his seventh. He was among the 80 actors not there. Taxi won as Best Comedy Series, The Miracle Worker as Best Drama Special. Meanwhile, talks have broken off in the strike that has idled more than 65,000 actors, a strike that some in Hollywood have dubbed Stars Wars. Gary Peterson, CBS News, Los Angeles.
In Portland, Oregon, three gunmen who failed in their robbery attempt at a popular restaurant took several patrons hostage early this morning. After releasing at least five people, the gunmen apparently are still holding six other hostages. The men are armed with handguns and possibly a shotgun. The standoff began when a holdup alarm was triggered shortly before midnight Sunday. When a getaway seemed impossible, the men took hostages.
CBS News. The presidential candidates are all busy selling themselves today with some important decisions in the offing. I'm Charles Osgood reporting on the CBS Radio Network. President Carter is meeting at the White House with the heads of American Jewish organizations.
Ronald Reagan is on a sales trip from Philadelphia to Kokomo to Chicago. And John Anderson is campaigning in upstate New York. The League of Women Voters will decide this week whether to include Anderson in the first debate. If they do, President Carter has to decide whether he'll participate. He's threatened not to if Anderson is part of the first one. And if he doesn't, there's a question whether Ronald Reagan would want to debate Anderson alone, so there wouldn't be a debate. Anderson told a student audience in Rochester this morning that he's sure Mr. Carter will take part, even if it is three-way.
I think he's going to be impressed by the poll that was released just a week ago that indicates 71% of the people think that, there should be three candidates. I realize that Mr. Strauss has made it quite clear that that Mr. Carter does not want me to participate because he wants to frame the whole election in the minds of the American people as simply being a contest between two parties and two candidates. And, of course, that's what the president himself said when he accepted the nomination in Madison Square Garden. But I don't think he can ignore the very, very pervasive signals in the electorate that people aren't satisfied.
More news in a minute.
The most important tools you buy or the ones you use most often. Hi, Pat Summerall to remind you that Master Mechanic Tools from True Value Hardware Stores are made from quality materials to rigid standards to assure you of lasting performance no matter how often you use them. Like their 7-piece drill bit set of quality tool steel, all packed in a handy indexed case, just $3.99. True Value Hardware Stores also offer the Master Mechanic 19-piece 3/8-inch drive socket set with ratchet driver and chrome-plated sockets for just $16.50. Master Mechanic Tools are USAC certified, and each offers the promise of satisfaction or a free replacement. So for the tools you use most often, rely on the quality and dependability of Master Mechanic Tools and Accessories. They're sold only at participating True Value Hardware Stores and Home Centers. And save gas. You won't have to drive far for your hardware and houseware needs. If you're looking for value, service, and selection, you'll find them nearby at any one of the more than 5,000 True Value Hardware Stores and Home Centers nationwide.
In Portland, Oregon, where would-be robbers found themselves trapped in a steakhouse and took hostages last night, five of the hostages have now been released. Seven are still being held. Police have the place surrounded and are negotiating with three gunmen. Pessimists and optimists both have things to feel good and bad about, respectively, and that is true in the world of business this morning, as Ray Brady reports.
A key group of businessmen believes that the recession may have bottomed out and the worst of the business slowdown may be behind us. Members of the National Association of Purchasing Management, buyers for large corporations, add they now feel the business outlook is brighter than it has been. The group, which has a good record for gauging the future of the economy, also notes that new orders for business are turning upward, a development that generally is considered bullish. Many economists have feared, however, that as the U.S. economy comes out of its slump, inflation might return. And the purchasing agents say that fear may be turning into reality. They report that the price picture last month turned, in their words, sour. 38% of them say that the prices they pay on products bought for their companies are rising. Ray Brady, CBS News, New York.
If you're the worrying sort, you might worry about the fact that military forces in great numbers are lined up on both sides of the Iron Curtain in Germany, NATO war games and Warsaw Pact war games. Nothing to lose any sleep over, officials say. Both sides have been planning these maneuvers for some time now. Nothing to do with current events. In Poland, the man who led the recent strikes has met with Cardinal Wyszyński to thank him for the church's support for the labor movement. And Lech Walesa told the cardinal that he would like to go to Rome to visit Pope John Paul, who happens to be Polish. Whether Walesa will be allowed to make such a trip remains to be seen. Scattered work stoppages are still going on in Poland today. More news and Wall Street after this.
We can plant a rose bush in a flower pot and it will probably grow and even bloom, but it can never reach its full potential. Its growth and development are limited because its roots are restricted. But if we take the bush out of the pot and plant it in the open garden, its roots are free to reach out and grow. Now the plant can flourish and bloom abundantly. Isn't it true that sometimes we allow our own progress and growth to become restricted? We sometimes fail to realize the tremendous potential for growth that lies within us. Each year, many men and women take the Dale Carnegie course because they want a new perspective of themselves and their own capabilities. They want to recognize and develop more of their capacity for progress and achievement. They want to make their lives more productive and fulfilling. For a free brochure, call Dale Carnegie toll-free, 800-231-5800. That's Dale Carnegie, 800-231-5800. In Texas, call 800-392-2424.
Israel's foreign minister will visit Egypt tomorrow to talk about reopening talks. Meanwhile, President Assad of Syria is flying to Libya to talk with President Gaddafi about uniting those two countries so they can fight Israel. On Wall Street at this hour, Dow Jones average is down 1.71. Volume on the big board is 9,090,000 shares. Charles Osgood, CBS News. Newsbreak. Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network. When horror gets to be routine, the way it does for people who have to deal every day with human suffering, there's a new horror that evolves. The awful fact that horror becomes humdrum. An example in a minute.
Arkwright Boston, a most unusual insurance company, wants you to consider this. The fastest growing crime in the United States isn't murder or armed robbery. It's arson. People setting fires for spite, thrills, revenge, or profit. Last year, the loss in terms of property came to more than $1 billion, an increase of more than 500% in the last 10 years. As one of America's largest loss prevention insurers, Arkwright Boston is putting these fires out by helping insureds spot vulnerable areas like yard storage, idle buildings, warehouse areas, and by helping them protect these areas with strengthened sprinklers and security. And through the Factory Mutual system, we're members of the Committee to Combat Arson, a group that pools anti-arson data and technical know-how and provides assistance to those working towards its prevention and control. At Arkwright Boston, we're working hard to take the profit out of arson. Arkwright Boston. We do it better because we do it right.
Over the weekend, a boatload of refugees from Haiti capsized in full view of a U.S. Coast Guard cutter. Three bodies were recovered. 103 people were brought into Key West, where Rick Carlton is the supervisory immigration inspector.
Most of the Haitians land further east, and their arrival rate is probably... Cubans are coming about 2-to-1, better than 2-to-1 ratio over Haitians. So the Cubans are our biggest problem, you know, right here.
Why this boat capsized when the Coast Guard cutter came in sight, Carlton can't say.
Who knows, maybe they're trying to turn the boat, to meet the cutter or to go away from the cutter or who knows what. They could just been excited at seeing somebody on the ocean. You know, who knows, really.
Anyway, three bodies were brought in, and that makes this particular case unusual.
So normally on these types of cases, the cause of death would be dehydration, and the weaker ones are, you know, could die en route. And if that happens, then they just pitch them over.
On this trip, maybe as many as 17 people died. Nothing unusual, says Carlton. Nothing unusual about the boat, either.
Well, just a wooden sailcraft type boat, typical of what the Haitians leave in. Nothing unusual about it. Really, the whole thing was not that much of an unusual incident. In this case, they happened to, the capsizing happened to be witnessed, and the Coast Guard was able to pick up the people. But I'm sure that many have capsized that haven't been picked up. And there again, that's fairly common that they die from dehydration, normally en route. And of course, they will just pitch the bodies over because they can't keep them in the boat.
Overloaded? Oh, sure, Carlton says. What else is new?
Oh, there again, the thing we see is speculation. All these boats that come are overloaded as far as, you know, what would be normal safety standards. How much they're overloaded, who can really say that?
And who can say how many come ashore along the Florida coast every night that Carlton and his associates never find out about?
I don't think they really even care if they get seen or not. They just want to get here, it's my opinion. In fact, they almost have to be seen by us and be processed, or else they can't get all the freebie benefits that we give to these people.
They may claim to be political refugees, but Carlton says it's clearly economic.
When you see these people, you can obviously see that they're just a bunch of desperately, destitutely poor people that you want to leave where they are. You can't believe them until you see them. They have just about no clothing at all. Most of them are wearing underwear or just pieces of cloth wrapped around them.
Horror has this way of numbing the soul. If you are touched or moved at the plight of these people, consider the response of Immigration Inspector Carlton.
Well, I hate to say it, it's kind of routine, really, just like even these three people being dead on this one. I'd personally never seen, three dead bodies come off one of these boats, but in talking to the different people, it happens all the time, and say normally they just pitch them over the side because they can't carry them along with them, so that's why I said the whole incident, really, to me, or to anybody that's working here, is not that big of a deal.
Did you hear that? Whoever you are and wherever you are you listening? And did you hear? Now this.
Come in and look at these walls. That's Fuller O'Brien paint. The color? White stone. But Fuller O'Brien has over 1,000, from feather beige to deep cobalt blue. Touch the paint. Smooth as glass. It's tough and it's gonna last. Because Fuller O'Brien makes it right. That's the quality you get at every Fuller O'Brien Pro Shop. You'll be proud of your paint job. Just be sure the paint you're buying is Fuller O'Brien.
News break. Charles Osgood, CBS News.
CBS News. The Middle East is up front today in national and international politics. I'm Richard C. Hottolett reporting on the CBS Radio Network. President Carter met at the White House this morning for nearly 2 hours with the Council of Presidents of major Jewish organizations. No word on what was discussed, but observers point out that it was an opportunity to talk about administration policy toward Israel and the support of Jewish leaders for President Carter's re-election. One recent event bearing on both was the announcement that Israel and Egypt will get together to discuss resuming the Palestinian autonomy talks and will also join President Carter at a summit meeting after the election. Some doubt was cast on that today by Egypt's Vice President Mubarak, who said there must be a consensus on the status of Jerusalem before any such meeting. And Israel's Foreign Minister Yitzhak Shamir is flying to Egypt tomorrow at President Sadat's invitation. Israel's formal annexation of Arab East Jerusalem in July has provoked widespread criticism, especially in the Arab world. Today, Syria's President Assad arrived in Libya to discuss the proposed merger of those two countries. Crowds in Libya shouted, "O Jerusalem, the day of liberation is at hand," unquote. More news after this.
Well, he's so long, we can both put him at once. Get it?
Wherever you are, you're never too far. They're waiting to share your day.
Oh, man, the South is great. Can't wait till you retire and move down here.
Come on, Dad, I'm only 28.
Reach out and touch someone. Reach out, call up and just say hi.
The baby said her first word today.
Mama?
No.
Dada? Sweet kid.
You know, you don't need a special reason to reach out to faraway friends and family. Anytime you miss them, just pick up the phone and have a little visit.
Reach out and touch someone.
The Bell System.
The Chicago Tribune reports that judges and legislators are among more than 100 people linked to a bribery scandal that it says may be the biggest political corruption case uncovered in the United States. 13 people already have been indicted. The Tribune says the scandal involves kickbacks to get real estate tax assessments reduced by an appeals board that deals with metropolitan Chicago. In Portland, Oregon, early today, police officers surprised robbers holding up a popular restaurant. The gunmen took several people hostage and have been bargaining with the police surrounding the restaurant, according to Jeremy Pritchard, a detective with the Multnomah County Sheriff's Office.
There are 3 armed suspects. They still hold 7 hostages. 5 have been released. We're negotiating with them at this time. They are demanding a van, and they are discussing money at this time. There has been no gunfire and nobody's been hurt, and everyone, as far as we know from the hostages that have been released, have been treated, fine by the suspects.
Authorities say the gunmen have now demanded $500,000. There has been another air hijacking. The Federal Aviation Administration says an Eastern Airlines jet bound for Florida was hijacked over Charleston, South Carolina a few hours ago. The plane has by now landed at Cuba's Jose Marti Airport. Poland's new communist boss is apparently coming to grips with the consequences of last month's nationwide strikes, although what he intends to do is not yet clear. The new Communist Party chairman, Władysław Kania, this morning flew to Gdansk, the center of the strike movement. Tomorrow he'll fly to the southern industrial city of Katowice. Kania has not appeared on radio or television since he took over from Edward Gierek, so it's not known how he intends to honor the government's acceptance of the strikers' demands. new strike activity, described as a virtual general strike, is reported from the city of Bialystok in eastern Poland, not far from the Soviet border. Stocks and other news after this.
Here's another first from Amana, the biggest breakthrough in microwave cooking since microwaves, the exclusive RotaWave cooking system. Ordinary microwave ovens scatter the microwaves every which way, but RotaWave works like a rotating shower of power. It rotates the microwave straight down into the food. So Amana radar range microwave ovens with RotaWave cook all sorts of foods faster and more evenly than ever before. Remember, if it doesn't say Amana, it's not a radar range.
Danielle Steele. Millions of women like you and me have loved her bestsellers, from To Love Again to The Promise, because no one knows more about loving.
I thought loving would never be part of my life again after two men broke my heart. That was before Oliver, before I learned how little I know about myself and loving.
Loving, Danielle Steele's new novel, captures all the joys and risks that are part of every woman's passion. Loving, a new Dell paperback bestseller.
Schools in Philadelphia are open for half a day today for elementary and special education students. Nationwide, at least 35,000 teachers have walked out, mostly over money issues, in at least eight states, and the start of school has been disrupted for more than a half million public school students. On Wall Street at this hour, the Dow Jones average down 0.09, volume on the big board just over 18 million shares. Richard C. Hottle at CBS News.